Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'd like to join us with your pew Bibles, you could open up to page 1618 to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. And it's titled, Do Not Worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Debbie. So good to see you too. Let us be in prayer. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They say that a baby smiles an average of 72 times a day, and a toddler laughs or smiles 600 times a day. My question this morning is, where does that smile go? Why is it that as we grow older, we smile less? During this pandemic, I have to say that I seem to be having many negative thoughts rather than positives. I've been upset because people refuse to see the pandemic as real and put everyone's life in danger. I've been upset for the need of protests and those who insert violence into those protests. I've been upset over the lack of kindness and respect that people seem to dismiss as necessary. Of course, I miss seeing friends and family and missing those common things we all do. I miss my husband and my son, taken too soon. But when I list the positive thoughts, I am feeling immediately better and realize that even though things are not as I wish them, I have much to be thankful for. I was married to my soulmate for 58 years. Most of you knew him and knew life was not dull. I have three grandchildren. I have six grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. And three of those remind me of my son that's gone. My health is pretty good for an old gal. Just my knees got old. I have marvelous children who are so good to me. And I have wonderful great-grandchildren who surprise me with their little minds. My 5-year-old great-granddaughter called me one day and said, "Grandma, tell me everything you know about God." I have 2 homes, one I live in the summer and one I live in the winter. I have friends across the country. Some are from my childhood, some are from my ministry, and places where I used to live. I have been so blessed by God in my calling as a pastor, including here for 13 years. I came just to fill in. Most valuable of all that I'm thankful for is the love of God, even in the midst of my negativity. Wow, my positive list is longer than my negative. If each of us do this little exercise, it is my hope that your positive list will be longer too. We call these thoughts looking at a glass. Is it half full or half empty? Even with the full scenario, we are saying that we don't have everything. I guess we all, in our deepest thoughts, think we are entitled to a full glass. I think that most of the problems we have today are from the half-empty syndrome. It seems that every disagreement, large or small, comes from thinking that our glass should be full. Relationships disintegrate because of needing something more or the other person needing something less. Wars begin because someone wanted more or less of something. What are the things that you think you need more or less of? Those are 2 options, looking at it half full or half empty. I want us to have a 3rd option. I have something. I chose the scripture today to remind us that God never said that we would have everything we want. He said he would provide. Capital letters, provide. Did you know there are 28 scriptures that tell of God providing what was needed at the time, from daily necessities to help in times of trouble, death, and stress? When you think of any day in your life, when was it ever perfect? When did you ever have everything you wanted? When was the last time you had nothing to ask for? God said he would provide what was needed. Capital letters, needed, not wanted. I could write a book about the times when I wondered how I would ever get through a particular time with my sanity intact. Yet each time, God brought something or someone to help me in that time. It always amazes me how God works things out. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. But as we look back, everything came together in that period of time. I can think of times long ago when what I was accomplished was put to use years later after God had prepared me for that. Even our most challenging times teaches us lessons. I have often said when I read the scripture, it talks to me where I am. When I had my first baby, the nativity scene took on a whole new idea. when I lost my son, Mary at the foot of the cross took on a whole new meaning. How the scripture has come alive for me during my lifetime. What makes us measure things? Why do we think about what we don't have? We ask questions about the perfect look. I understand through the pandemic now, lipstick sales are down, but eyelash pencil is up. You know, so put your money in eyelash. The right religion, all this racism with religion and race, why do we measure that? And why do we say, because of how I think, I'm the only one right. The other person has another point of view. Why do we say, if you don't have this education, you don't know as much as a person who has this education? The side of politics. Oh, if I had my wish, once you got to Washington, you could never say Democrat or Republican again. They live for the party instead of the people. And how important are you because of what's in your wallet? Or what kind of connections do you have to get through life the easiest way possible? Why do we do that? If we believe God created us, we know He made us all different. Did you notice there are no commandments about ourselves? The commandments that we do have tell us to worship God and how to treat each other. Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor. A young bride joined her husband in an army base on the edge of the desert where life seemed primitive, living in a dilapidated one-room apartment near an Indian village. The desert heat became almost unbearable. The wind-blown sands constant, the days dreary. When her husband was ordered further into the desert on maneuvers, the young bride wrote Mama that she couldn't take any more and she was going to return home. Wiser than most, her mother quickly replied, "Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, one saw stars." Reading those lines over and over, the daughter thought reflectively and set out to make friends with the Indians, asking them to teach her weaving and pottery. She became fascinated with their culture and history and personal patterns. Gradually, the desert changed from a desolate, forbidding place to an awesome thing of beauty as she studied forms of the cacti, yuccas, and the Joshua trees. Dreary days turned into delightful interests. What had really changed? Not the desert, nor the Indians, but her frame of mind. Likewise, abounding people manipulate their inner feelings to brighten a not-so-beckoning situation. Reverse an unfriendly relationship, do a nearly hypnotic selling job, and paint golden hues across the horizon of any day. Beverly was 78 and struggled with arthritic joints, so her niece offered to help her with chores on the weekends. She noticed her aunt had a penny jar, but it never seemed to get any more pennies in it. Her niece asked her one day, "Why is your penny jar always almost empty?" She grinned and said, "Actually, it's a good thing. I started putting a penny in the jar whenever I felt low or had a negative thought. At first, they were adding up, but now I take a penny out for every blessing to count them, so to speak. You see, the less money I have in the jar, the richer I am. I have never been able to wrap my mind around the hatred that has been expressed throughout the centuries. It all seems to be because we see the half-empty glass. We look at each other and say, you are lacking something, therefore I can't love you. Or we look at the half-full and say, I don't have everything I want. Look at your glass again. What if we were to say, I have something? I've often said one thing we lack when we read the Bible is that we cannot hear the tone or the emphasis that the speaker is using. We can say, I have something, or we can say, I have something. I think that's how we should say it. I may not have everything, but I have something. God has provided me with what I need. Let us pray. Oh Lord, when the easiest thing to do is worry and the hardest is to wait, help us to have hope, Lord, and not squander one precious moment on what ifs. When the easiest thing to do is stew and the hardest is to submit, let us trust, Lord, that your love will sustain us and you will see us through. When the easiest thing to do is fret and the hardest is to forbear, give us faith, Lord, for you are there. Amen.